Welcome, dear listeners and fellow K-drama lovers, to your favorite critical K-drama podcast, the K-drama Feuilleton podcast, with me, Maksu, and my lovely co-host, Sally. In this episode, we are discussing the 2018-19 K-drama classic Sky Castle. It was one of our early recordings from last year, but we just edited it now, and it will actually be featured in two episodes. Interestingly enough, recent discussions in Korean politics and media focus on the education sector once again, as one politician bribed professors to help his child publish an academic paper that would get her into a good university. One journalist is even using Sky Castle as a reference, so you can see the big impact this drama had. In our analysis, we focus on the different characters in the castle and the education system in Korea, but also more in general. Delve into the fascinating world of Sky Castle with us. Enjoy, everyone. What was a bit random also with the advertisement. I mean, Nespresso advertisement, or this like espresso machine advertisement was okay, but when they went to this restaurant where they served
this crab,
crab soup, basically. even though that was probably the most expensive dish in this restaurant, I guess people from the upper class would never visit this kind of.
Because
it's a franchise restaurant.
Also, just it was very weird. Like, here, have some crab soup. Like,
and then everyone just had this crab soup.
Thank you. Great. Yeah. Mm. But what other?
With the cars, it was fine. But then too many of them had this Jeep and then Jaguar. Mm. Yeah.
Definitely cars. Nespresso and crab soup.
Crab soup. I read once that they also advertised study material, but I never noticed that.
Oh, I didn't look at that. Yeah. Mm. I saw.
Yeah. It's maybe not so important.
Maybe.
But what I found interesting, after the drama was released, that one of the search hit list in Naver, the Korean Google, was actually coordinator. So people were looking for these coordinators.
Oh my god, they didn't learn the lesson.
So basically it was like reversed. The drama should criticize education and all that, but then it actually advertised coordinators.
That is hilarious. Oh my god. And this whole drama is about how
the coordinator manipulates people.
And how she wrecks everything, and then, well, supposedly.
Well, but then people get in. I mean, 100% of her students got in, so I guess. Still convincing.
God. Yeah, and it's quite interesting because Han Soo-jin goes through the same thought process, right? She hires a coordinator. Then she finds out about all the drama.
Connected
to her. Says,
and, no, we are not like that.
And the death of her best friend. The death of her best friend. And then she fires her to then just be like, oh, well, what can I do?
We are not as disruptive.
Exactly. We're not like them. We're not like them. We can handle
Yeso
this.
Yeso is so strong. But then Yeso played a big role too. Like, she was convincing the mom. She's very egoistic too.
Oh my god, I absolutely like...
I mean, she should be more...
She's such a brat.
Appreciate her mom more and her... And all
she's very things. Rude also to grown-ups.
To the dad.
And
true.
Yeah. And she has no impulse control as well. Like, she's like a 4-year-old that didn't get what she wanted.
Right, when she does not get the highest mark or something that she wanted.
She flips.
And... Her voice was really annoying. I really hated her voice.
Oh, so annoying. And I thought, honestly, I thought she was very dumb. I mean, she was really good. I think that was well good portrayed.
At studying, but not
she was
smart.
Good at studying, but not smart. Like, she was so plain. I mean, also in the book club, her answers, there's like zero depth.
Did she read it from Wikipedia or something?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, very, not.
She was just the only, student who participated or was very full of herself or very self-secure. So that's why she answered and all that. But the answers of one of the twins would have been more meaningful, probably, but was very...
Yeah, and much more insight. Much more, right? I mean, it's also interesting that in Korean literature she didn't get perfect score.
Oh, yeah, that makes
maybe because you need a bit of critical thinking and, interpretation.
No, I don't think so. Not for these exams, though.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they just cross stuff they memorize, basically.
Yeah. I mean, but then also, I'm not saying that our education system is much better. It's still very much kind of last century, you wanting to get children. I don't know.
Well, but we have all this critical thinking included in most subjects.
Do we?
Yeah, actually.
I didn't at all. In my experience.
I was recently listening to a lecture on history education in Korea and Germany, and then also in exams was one example, but also the whole curriculum. And although the topics in Korean history classes in Korea were much more various, the whole process was that basically lecturing, but then also the exam was based on memorizing, while history class in Germany was always, so analyze this source, like primary source, and then look at this character or like
true.
This picture and then compare it or something.
Yeah, so that's like true. You have to think of your own ideas.
And then the whole Abitur exam in history in Germany is written essay questions, and then Korea it's all of it is multiple choice. So
that's the thing with the multiple choice questions, because often at multiple choice you still have to do, for example, math, you still have
calculate. And for history then there are several right answers and stuff, so it's quite tricky actually, but not that critical thinking in the sense, more
I see.
Thinking, but not critical.
I guess it's different. It really depends of what you want the children to train at. At being good at kind of memorizing stuff or being good at transfer exercises. Transferable knowledge or kind of, I don't know. But I think generally there's a trend, especially with further automation and AIs and whatever, to also want to reform the school system into a more kind of way where children learn more about critical thinking and being creative these things rather than just
I mean, all the fact knowledge you can basically Google it and read online, but you need to have the critical to know which sources are right and to understand
media competence.
Yes, more than true.
Yeah, and if you think about it, I mean, school was, at least in Europe, I don't know about Korea, but was introduced in the 19th century, and that was mainly to train children to be good workers. So you would teach them to follow orders, sit still.
In the elementary school level, I guess that is still the case for discipline and all that. But the knowledge, it depends much on if you go to more practical schools or the
academic or like language oriented or what, natural science oriented.
Yeah, but I mean the basic thing, what I mean for me the basic thing that school does is like firstly it contains the children. Parents can be productive and go to work, right? So
it now has we get to a very critical level of
yeah, but you know it has this very important functions to have both parents free to work and be productive.
Okay, well, if you see me,
And then, well, during the pandemic, that was a big problem, right? Because suddenly the children were at home, and then suddenly you were like, well, I can't work when my children are at home because. There's nobody to take care of the children. And then I do think it is about teaching
nationalism, children kind of, more like state related.
Exactly. Yeah. Kind of being a good citizen in a way, kind of being able to function in society.
But not really. So, if you think about gymnasium education, it is very abstract and not practical in a sense. Like we learn, and I, in my case, I don't know, we learn Latin or something, but we don't learn how to make our tax registration or anything like that. That sense, that would have been much more useful as a citizen rather than learning Latin. Or something.
Oh, but I mean it more in the kind of...
In a more abstract way. Yeah,
abstract way is that not actually, it's not actually about what is taught, but it's about kind of... Yeah, right. Kind of being in a place and like going there on a certain amount of time, be there and then go home at this time and then manage your own, I don't know, stuff and then...
But not so much, I don't know. It's not real life, though. It's not the work life.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. It's like basically school is still kind of teaching these being submissive and like... listening to authority, learning to listen to your teacher always says what is right. I mean, at least my experience is whenever I was critical of my teachers, usually, I mean, I didn't have great teachers, they would reprimand me or give me bad grades or stuff like that. So basically what I learned was what's written in books is always right. If you follow authority, then that's the easiest way to success.
Probably,
You know, follow the rules in general. Be somehow friendly with the people around you. Somehow try to fit in. If you don't fit in, that's also problematic.
I mean, that is a big problem of the education system, that some people don't fit into this functioning. But then I guess German education system still has some alternative schools like Waldorfschule or others where you can...
Yeah. With a bit of a different approach, definitely.
But
that's just what I meant with school being there to kind of produce these, you know, citizens who then can be productive in society, right? But the problem is that obviously we don't have these jobs anymore where you have to be really good and reproducing
being punctual
things.
Punctual or disciplined.
Or you're not exactly, you're not going to the factory. Most of us don't go to the factory anymore in our jobs. We kind of do different tasks and so on. So it's really a question also, what does education do? Like, and obviously it's many things, it's very complex. And what's the role of education in society? What kind of people do we want to educate, to what goal, and so on.
I was just coming back to the Korean context. I once encountered a person, I think he was American, and he called Koreans cyborgs or something like that. I don't know the exact term, but some kind of robot.
Because that's why you met.
As everyone has like this kind of same knowledge and same approach to stuff. Because that is the Korean education system is very unified very much with the in Germany we still have the regional differences and then even the schools have some different curriculum and depending on the level, but in Korea the knowledge that is written that is in the curriculum, every student in that generation will know that person or that incident or that this acquaintance told me like he would be asked by Koreans about some person like Albert Schweitzer or something, and then every Korean asks him that kind of question. Basically, I don't know why. That all of them had this kind of similar knowledge, and it still depends on what you read in your free time and what you and how critical you approach this kind of information.
Yeah, I guess that's just if you don't have parents who are kind of teach you to kind of do critical thinking and like kind of question things and so on, then I think it's really hard in this system, at least even like I'm talking about the German system. I mean, I don't know about Korea, but it's really hard to kind of keep a critical mind if most of the time you're actually being reprimanded for behavior. Like,
probably.
Yeah. And then, you know, you have this whole thing about collectivism and stuff.
Collectivism and so on.
But
let's not go into this very deep topic.
Definitely not. And
maybe we can discuss that in another episode, because I think it's shown in some dramas with the collective, especially familiarism, collective society, or like working for the society. That is a very common theme in Korean drama too.
One other interesting thing I thought was also in the end, I think when Han Soo-jin says it shouldn't be revealed to the public that we live in this castle like this, that we put all these efforts and money into their education. I think it's when Soo-im wants to write the book.
And she's
like, no, you cannot write about this, because if this gets out, then all these people...
But it's weird why she's suddenly concerned about that. Hypocritical. I mean, if she does it like that and then has these like secret meetings and all that, why would she not stand for it then?
Yeah, and it's also very patronizing of poor people, because she says it's better they don't know what they can't get, because otherwise they'll just get upset because they can't have it anyways. So
it's quite an interesting logic, yeah.
You're like, okay. I mean, that's also why Soo-im kind of goes rogue and like reveals
to write this novel and all.
Poor lady, like, or coming from a poor background.
True.
Because she thought, oh well, that's a double standard, you kind of, I don't know, defending the poor thing. Like, oh my god.
Thinking from the perspective of the poor, but actually not.
Yeah, and I do think it's really interesting, because also if you look at the parents who are most determined to get their kids into med school, it's Han Soo-jin and Professor Cha, which both are from poor backgrounds.
True.
I mean, the father of Yeso also wants her to get into med school, but he's not nearly as...
Well, in this case, I think this is more a generation issue. He always like says, well, I got into med school like this, easily. But the conditions changed quite a lot from like the 80s and to like recently, and that generation, then you would just take the general exam. There was no private tutoring at that time. It was
I wanted to ask you about that, because the mother of
she says that
it wasn't even allowed to get you private tutoring, but I got it to you anyways.
There was a short time in the 80s where private tutoring was forbidden. Even going into the drama Reply 88, they also have this situation where the one teacher is actually doing private tutoring lessons, gets the money, but it's all a secret because...
I see. Was that because they wanted to keep competition fair?
Yeah, they wanted to make it fairer. But it failed, and then it became even worse.
Well, I guess that's a problem, really, like, unless you're really repressive. But even then, like, such things, they'll always happen somehow. If humans want to do stuff, they're going to do it.
yeah, with alcohol or similar restrictions in the US, it was the same. True.
Humans got to be humans. Humans got
to
do what
I thought that this change to the extracurricular and not like exam-based judgment or enrollment for university would change it, but even that is not helping much. Because until now, or until recently, then so, Korea was very much based on this entrance exam.
Yeah, so how does it, could you just say how it worked?
So then if you get the highest scores, and you really, there are like several hundred questions, but you can only get one or two wrong to get into the highest university from the ranking. And then it's a nationwide ranking. So actually they make a list of people. I mean, here in the drama, we see it with the school. So they rank the whole school or the classes into 1, 2, 3. And then Yeso and Hena are like 1 and 2, for example. But then they do it for the whole, like, nationwide.
The
and
whole country.
Yeah, in the drama, he... Kang Jun-sang. Ah, yeah, Kang Jun-sang. Yeah, he was apparently the one got the highest exam in the whole country at that time. Highest marks.
Well, just because he got illegally privately
cheated. Yeah, right. But then, because of that, this whole preparation for the exam became so important. And then people spent a lot of time preparing these exams and retaking the exam. You can actually retake it every year. Then there are people who take it like 5 times after they, like, and then they still can enroll in university with fifth exams result. And crazy. I even met people who were then like 20 something and then came to university with their like fifth try of.
Well, you also have to be able to finance that kind of 5 extra years of just taking exams, probably being tutored as well.
It is a very lonely and also hard thing, I guess, to prepare yourself. I mean, in the end, Yeso does the same, right? She says, I will prepare myself. And then actually, you don't need to attend high school. You can just prepare yourself the whole time and just take the exam.
Yeah, that's also something I was wondering about, because she says, I'm dropping out of high school. I'm like, well, okay.
And so if you just take the exam, then you can actually get in without preparing, even if you don't. I met, this was one alternative kind of student in Korea I met, and she dropped, she just graduated middle school. Then she took the exam right away with like 16.
How old are they when they're middle school?
16. I think 16, and then with like 19, they graduate in Korean age. And then she just took the exam early. Then for 3 years, she did nothing. And then traveled around and was like jobless kind of. And then she enrolled when she turned 19. That's also quite funny.
But also, I wonder whether it's so fun to just travel around alone when you're 16 to 19, because you really
That was extraordinary case. That was the only person I knew who did it like that.
With what age are you considered grown up? As a, like
in Korea, 19 is legal. Yeah, legally 19.
So I mean, what are you gonna do like traveling around when you're not even?
I don't know. But then she didn't have the whole stress of high school, actually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it seems it's like interesting. Oh, my God.
Yeah. There are some funny examples about with Korea and Korean.
Yeah. I guess as it is with everything, it's very individualistic. And some people really respond to this kind of thing and others to that, I guess. Because,
if you can choose where to send your child and like this high school, that high school, or alternative school or something, that's ideal, but it's not possible in Germany either.
No, but like, I saw once this documentary about the most amazing school. I gotta tell you this one. I think it was Danish, and it's exclusively a LARPing school. So all they do is live action role play. So they don't have separate subjects, but they have topics or like kind of theme blocks of 6 weeks. For example, they have ancient Greece. And in these 6 weeks, they kind of prepare this epic role play where they build a whole set, learn about the dramas and the mythology. They make the costume, but they also learn how to use architectural programs to build temples like digitally, mm. and then that obviously they also learned math.
Very
and
cool,
so on.
Very cool.
And the other block was Wall Street, I think, in that documentary. And in the morning, they did a sit-in, like an Occupy protest. It was kind of their PE lesson. Mm. Is that they did a sit-in, and some people had to be the cops and like try to tear them apart. And then at noon, they were like being Wall Street brokers and like trying to understand how financial global flow works.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's so cool because you get to learn so many things that are very practical, but still.
I read about a similar school in the US.
Keep the basics as well, right?
Mm.
So I think that's a great way to do education.
True. Yeah, yeah. I read a similar article once, but I don't. Yeah, it also fits some people and others less, I guess. Some more and some less. Some children need some rules more than the freedom.
But this school was a school for outcasts. So this school was a kind of boarding school for children who had problems of fitting in at the state school, I think, and then they were sent there. So
but Scandinavian education system is so good. Yeah. Like what you hear about, like even with the teacher-student relationship and all that.
Yeah, it's true.
Smaller classes and much more interactive.
Yeah, it's a bit like this utopia sometimes. At least that's how I imagine it. It's probably still problematic.
We know.
Life is hard.
Yeah.
Growing up is harder. Oh, God.
One friend of mine who was also abroad and then had to go back to Korea in middle school or after middle school or something, then had to endure all the high school torturing, basically. And he was always imagining, what if I grew up in this country abroad? Or, yeah, Canada, Sweden or something. Yeah, and then... what can you say to that? I mean, we had relatively good school environment too. But it was not perfect either. Yeah.
It's never perfect, is it? But I mean, I didn't hate school or anything, but I do think there was a lot of stuff that was just a bit shit.
But in Germany, very much region and all that depends on how the grades, and that is not so fair, I think, about the German system. Like if you have your Abitur in Bavaria or
Baden-Württemberg.
Yeah, Baden-Württemberg or some North or East German states or that is a bit unfair somehow.
It is unfair, yeah. Also, like, I mean, I think a friend of mine, she did her Abitur in Berlin and they didn't even have to do maths.
Oh, yeah, these things.
Biology,
For high school. Yeah,
for high school, exactly. For my A-levels, I had chemistry, I had maths, I had, well, and then I chose history and whatever, but you always had to do math and
math was
the minimum requirement, and I was always so jealous, like, oh my god, you could choose just arts and sport. That's all you did. And then you go on and study medicine because you've got very good grades.
That's really not fair, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that is, I think, a bit fairer in the Korean exam, that it's all the same exam and in all schools and all the same subjects, and that is kind of fair.
But then we go to the question of why do we actually need to, you know, based
judge
on grades.
People, basically.
Well, or like,
not on personality.
For example, does it mean just because you have, you know, the best grades that you're going to be a good doctor, right?
No, obviously not. Yeah.
So then you could think about, well, admissions, why do we, you know, and then you go from that to society. Why do so many people want to be in that profession? Probably because of money or like job stability or whatever. And then if you would have like other jobs that you actually need much more, like, I don't know, care.
But then you also have like regional scientists like us
They're the most important.
Who are like from this post-materialistic background, who don't have to think about their money because they
I know we're very privileged.
They have middle-class parents or rich parents too. And, yeah.
Actually, you know what, Max? I think we have quite a sweet deal because we have enough money so that we don't have to, that we grew up not worrying too much about money, so we don't have the pressure to like do something where we have to earn a lot of money, and that's like
that is not required from
and then our, if you're too rich, then you have to keep up that level of richness.
True.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
actually the richest person I've met in my life was under so much pressure to earn even more money and couldn't
really?
Do what the person wanted to do, and you're like, oh my god, you have millions, literally millions, billions, you know, money. Why can't you let your child, you know, pursue whatever that child wants? What is that money for if you can't let your child be whatever they want to be? And in this case, that he was just under so much pressure to earn more money. And you're like,
I guess we are privileged in that sense.
It's like, why? It's just like... Do what you want to do. Oh, God.
But in the end, like, I don't know, with all the money from parents that you don't earn yourself, yeah, I wonder. Oh, anyway.
Yeah.
Different topic.
Very different topic.
Talking with, like, middle-class Koreans, they have so many problems still with, like, finding a affordable house and all that, even though the parents are not poor or anything. Compared to these other children from poor backgrounds, you are very privileged. You live in one of the expensive parts of Seoul and all that. But then they still feel all that pressure. Yeah, either to achieve, go into the highest. Oh, yeah, actually, we didn't talk about all that. I think just thinking about it,
social mobility. I also wanted to talk more about actually meritocracy and social mobility and this whole kind of myth that neoliberal capitalism needs to cling on to keep everyone working and happy in this environment, being like, if you just want it enough, if you just want it really, really much, you can do anything. It doesn't matter. And then they have this one, you know, example of,
oh, yeah, I'm from Rex.
Oh, the best thing is, you know, if it's a very poor person from a very poor country, probably, you know, disabled in one way or another, and then they kind of went and they got their education and they crawled to school and then they got all the best grades and they got that scholarship and they went to the US and they founded that startup and then they sold it to Google and now they're freaking billionaires. If that person with the arms can do it, why do you whine? Stop whining. It's all your fault. If you're poor, it's your fault. You just didn't want it enough.
This is quite funny. But also sad, yeah. But this part, going to the US, is probably important. You cannot achieve that in all countries. Yeah.
No. But this is what we all are being told.
But then if you look at examples they make, like sometimes even Trump or people like him were, oh, he was so poor and then he built this whole empire and all that. But if you look at his father's like I don't know.
He inherited billions.
But then they always portray it more like the struggle.
He's the businessman.
And businessman. Like, yeah.
Built this empire.
No, with education. I wonder what it's really worth. Like having a degree from Harvard or something. Does it make you a better person? Then we don't know that.
I think so. My opinion on that, actually, having gone to Oxford. myself. No, I think the biggest factor of going to university like that is actually the networks. So what we talked about earlier, like these networks is what makes it worth so much. I mean, obviously, you know, you get usually these universities also have a lot of funding Although in Oxford, actually, they didn't. I mean, they have more funding, but that doesn't mean that actually people are paid fairer wages or academic. That's not true. You're still being exploited and so on. So basically, it's like a normal university, just that it's a big brand and yeah, the kind of people that go there and also already from a quite a good background. And then if you network all of them together, then
Then you can later say, oh, we were together in the class, something.
Definitely.
In this book club.
No, exactly. Yeah, it's all about then these clubs and the colleges and like there's all these alumni things.
So right.
I think it's the networks. That's what.
It's not as extreme in Korea as it's smaller or like less long tradition. But what is kind of funny, I always encounter professors like in this academic circles and they are all kind of related or some like seniors from each other, like this is my 5 year senior, this is my 5 year junior, something, and then they all know each other. That's
crazy. Also what they said in the drama a bit, like, oh yeah, that person was my 5 year senior in this high school, and then they also
talked like that. High school. But then also the major
high school college.
Oh yeah, and
wow, we covered a lot of ground today.
Oh yeah.
What was your favorite scene in this drama, Max?
Favorite scene. It sounds a bit creepy or like weird. Actually, I like this one scene where Han Seo-jin exits her car and then runs like onto the streets of Taejidong to pick up her daughter. That was like very, that was for me, that was like the whole story, basically.
into one
scene, yeah. Yeah, that she's like coming there with her SUV Jeep, and then pick the daughter up. Kong Jun, like the princess.
Yeah.
This whole mother-daughter relationship.
I can see that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
there was a really like impressive scene when there are all these cars parking.
Yeah.
All the mothers waiting for the daughters to, or children.
To come.
How about you? What was your favorite?
That's a tough one. I mean, I think I found it very emotional that Hyuna, when she died in the hospital and with her dad, I thought that was very much, I mean, obviously it was also a bit silly because you just learned that at the same time, the grandson of the director had an accident, had the same injury. So then there's a competition for the operation room. And I mean, obviously that was a bit, you know, very drama-like.
Yeah, very drama-like.
I mean, what are the odds, whatever. But yeah, then just the scene of her being rejected and then actually dying, and then Uju and Han Seo-jin seeing it.
Han Seo-jin in the back. Yeah, that was also very
emotional. It was this big mess, basically. You're like, oh, then you're like, oh gosh, she's actually dying. They're killing her. Oh, that's mad. And I think there's also always such a it's so drastic when children basically die. I think it's always very
true. You don't see
it that often dramatized, so I thought it was actually quite that was an intense scene, I thought. And then I also really liked the scene when the twins throw out their father.
That was a funny scene. The father actually looks so like kind of fragile, or
he's tiny, he's very
weak,
very
thin, funny.
And then his two twins just like, okay, that's it, bye bye. On the naughty step with you.
But there were some funny scenes, like with the Tintin family.
Oh, that as well. Yeah. They were quite cute as well. I thought, I liked them as well. They made it a bit lighter.
I'm just thinking of a funny advertisement when I when the drama was airing and I lived in Korea, then went to this one subway station. There was a big poster of Kim Joo Young and or sitting in this meditation room, I think, or like she was kind of sitting behind her and kind of controlling. But then also they advertised the private academy.
It's incredible.
This is ironic. But also, yeah, this meditation room, I think that was kind of the peak of the drama, like the private education.
I think that is so funny. And also because in the end you realize that all that, you know, woohoo with all these different teachers and blah blah blah, in the end all it was stolen exam questions, right?
True. Yeah.
And also what I thought is that Yeso was already at the top when she got the coordination.
Why would she need? Yeah.
So she actually got worse with the coordinator.
Okay, that was all the other background story that made it worse.
Why don't you just leave her be?
Her character was bad in the beginning and then all that. And the competition with Hannah would have just continued like that. So anyway.
That's true.
I guess.
And and who was your favorite character?
Not really sure, actually. I disliked Yeso. Yeso's voice is so annoying.
Okay. Which character did you hate the most?
Between Anna and Yeso, it's difficult. But I guess I hated Yeso more.
God.
No, I mean, Yeso was just too much of this bad child, like uneducated, and I don't know,
was terrible.
We described it already. Yeah.
Mm, yeah. I guess I would probably also pick Yeso. She's just very annoying.
Did you see her in another drama too?
I saw her in Extraordinary You.
Yeah. In the switching. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she still has the annoying voice.
The voice and all the dress. Yeah.
Oh, okay, dress.
And all that dress with her very perfect hair and all that is the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's actually quite similar. Also, because in that drama, she's like...
She's also a high school
student. She's the perfect daughter, blah. I mean, with a heart condition, but still, she's a...
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
She has a heart condition.
I remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the father was... From acting, I would say the father was actually quite good of Yeso's father.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I wonder, as we were comparing it with Noctu.
Yeah.
Then basically his whole character is shouting, crying, then being the nice dad. Like, it's shifting. Mm. So he has so many emotions to portray. Emotions. And rather than Han Seo-jin, who is always very calm.
I thought Han Seo-jin was great because she, you could really I think... You could see the behind her, and then one time I think she actually breaks down in her dressing room and her and then cries because it's, you know, so tough and so I think.
But these are very rare scenes though for her.
Yeah,
most of the time she is very controlled. Yeah.
But I think because she has to be, right? Because
that's her character.
She has to.
Sometimes she reminded me of Yeso, then just throwing something or slapping the teacher or something . Just express it with violence instead of
communication.
Yeah, or real feeling, expression of feelings.
But then I kind of feel that that's also kind of acting with violence is maybe her kind of background where she had to be a survivor, right? Because
she came from this abused kind of.
She was abused herself, and then she was kind of made fun of. She was kind of the poor one. In order to move up, she had to sacrifice so much and scheme so much, so she's kind of got this thick skin, you know, she's seen stuff. She's not like Jinjin or
I think this whole character, how it is written, reminds me quite much of this ideal Korean mom who does all the management of the children and all the, so it was for me it was rather a more typical or idealized mom character.
I can see that, I mean, that's why I really liked, if you had to pick a mom from these four moms, which mom would you choose?
I would rather choose the wife of Professor Cha, I guess.
Me too.
Seung-hae.
Yeah. I thought she was a good mom. I think she was not as annoying as the other one.
Yeah.
And she really cared for her children, and she was like, I'm standing up for you,
And then later she actually also acknowledged the daughter's different path without education and didn't even more relaxed about it. It's true. They have so much money and they live in this castle, Sky Castle. Why do the children need to earn so much money like right away. Or...
I mean, they have to become the president, right? That was the idea of the father. The top of the pyramid. And then they even bring Nietzsche into it. They were like, Nietzsche.
It was funny for watching it with a German background. Yeah. We don't really read that in middle school, high school, or whatever.
And Nietzsche's interpretation of, and I am about to achieve to be the Übermensch. You're like, yes, okay. You shouldn't read Nietzsche. Maybe
We should, I don't know. At one point we should discuss that with a philosophy student at some point.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could interpret Nietzsche in that very neoliberal, egoistic sense. Yeah.
Okay, do we have any last words?
Last words. Yeah.
What's your review out of 10?
Out of 10?
Recommend watching?
Apart from the last few episodes, I really enjoyed watching all of the drama. And I got even kind of addicted to watch the next episode and then see what's happening. And
even watching it the second time.
Yeah, even for the second time. Yeah, even for the second time. I got very much into the story with the scheming and all the background story with the grandmother and all that. Oh, we didn't talk about that was also a great scene actually, when the Yesos father suddenly realizes that he hates his life and when he has this kind of breakdown, like midlife crisis.
That was great.
That was actually a very key scene also for me
to understand
the whole society background in Korean society, this whole pressure.
Yeah, I liked that a lot, actually. I mean, he went from this very extreme kind of careerist, doing exactly everything how it was expected of him kind of thing, to, realizing that he has lost his daughter that he never knew, and then
that there are more breaking important down things than and then a career.
Realizing.
Yeah, and that he didn't even want to become a doctor in the first place. Like that whole thing, we thought of him as the doctor and the professor.
Mm.
Mm. One of his students actually says, my mother made me become a doctor.
I think he asked him, why did you want to become a doctor? Because my mom wanted me to. And I think in the first episode, I just rewatched it before this recording. The first episode, also the Yongjae says, so are you happy to become have entered the med school between the children they asked? And then he says, I made my mom happy.
right.
And then everyone's oh my God.
Okay. All this parent, children trauma that is going on in Korean society.
I think it really just comes down to being allowed to express your emotions and communicating them in a way that is not pointing a gun at your child in this extreme case.
So this is your conclusion of the...
I think that's my conclusion. Kind of having an open conversation, just always be as honest as you can is probably the best way to go about how you feel, about what you want, about what you think the other person wants, rather than doing all this controlling and scheming and putting up this face. Also, it must be so exhausting,
to pretend to be so exhausting. Yeah.
Literally, none of these people actually had a friend where they could actually let all of this down, because the friends were part of the whole scheming
and pretending and
reaching the position you want to go to. Those were your friends, right? So, so exhausting. Just very exhausting. But
that is not really our life, luckily.
Thank God, no. That's quite good. Oh God, no, I'm quite happy about that. It's too much pressure. I couldn't handle it. I would be out. I'd be like, okay, bye-bye.
There was actually a recent movie that reminded me kind of that one Korean movie. It's called, I think in English title is Korean High Society or something like that. It was very similar from the whole networking part, just without the children, just without this education problem, but
I see.
This whole rank system and
yeah.
more with the industrial, the chaebols included.
Yeah, that's also something in this drama. We were just talking about doctors, like there were no
Yeah, they were not generals. Yeah.
That's also why you said they're not necessarily
0.1%. Yeah. No.
That's a whole different story. They just buy the university and then they.
Send their children abroad and then don't care about it. And that's very common in the other dramas, right? When they when the rich chaebol son comes back from the US at the airport and just this whole line of bodyguards and people is waiting for him. That is a very common chaebol thing to do. They would not sit on the desk and study hard like
That's true. Yeah, so it's more like upper middle class, what we see.
I would say so.
I mean, the upper 3%, maybe. 2%. I don't know.
We don't know how much they earn, like, in real, and how much assets they have. Like, and when at one point, it's funny, when the Cha family decides to hire the coordinator, and then they say, oh, let's just sell this apartment, this other apartment we have in Banpo, which is one of the like richest areas in Seoul as well. And then if you think about that, like probably they have some
probably quite rich.
They still
were definitely quite rich for sure.
They still have some money from grandparents or whatever.
Definitely. I would definitely recommend the drama. I think it was great. I really enjoyed it. And I also really enjoyed actually that it was not a romance. So it was very much centered around the moms. And it was very female driven. So it was all about kind of female characters. And
even though they were not the ideal, like strong female. Even some of them had deep characters in the sense that you could not say like the villain or...
I think it was very complex characters, and I think they were fleshed out very well, and I really also liked, I think there were still like surprising things. I didn't expect Hyena to die, for example.
In the middle, very late, and not like in the early episodes.
Because that's rare that you have such a developed character being killed off that soon. And then kind of continuing, so I thought.
Normally then some relative would die of cancer or something, but not like this whole.
That they then kind of bond or something, the couple.
Not this whole murder thing that was kind of new for a family. I guess it would still be regarded as a family drama, though. I mean, not romance, but family.
Definitely. Yeah, so I think I would give it 9 out of 10.
Actually, it would have been my guess as well. 8 or 9.
Oh, we agree. Very good.
Cool. Yeah, I'm glad you liked it because I wasn't sure that
whether. No, I really liked it. I thought it was great. It was worth all those hours I didn't sleep.
This is already the end of our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If so, please leave us a comment or write us on Facebook or Twitter or via our email address, kdramafeuilleton@gmail.com. We are always happy to hear from our listeners, so from you, basically, be it suggestions of dramas to review or critique, of course, praise, or just wanting to say hello and have a chat about the latest goss that's going on in K-drama world. We always, always appreciate your time and opinions. Now go back to watching your dramas. Stay critical, as always. And we cannot wait to see you for our next episode. Goodbye. Annyeong.